This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, New Orleans? What is up across the Gulf South? To you listening across the world at WWL.com, the radio.com app. What's going on tonight? Welcome on into the show. We've got a lot to cover tonight. What a special day yesterday in the Superdome. We'll get to this in just a second, but what an incredible atmosphere by an incredible crowd, and you and Who Dat Nation, you showed up and showed out and made everybody take notice. And I really mean that. Everywhere where I was reading and watching and listening today, they all, almost to a man and woman, made note of just how absurd the crowd was yesterday. And it was. It really, really was. So we'll get to that. So we'll talk about the incredible 18-play drive that was really a 23-play drive by the Saints. There, Doug Mouton, second half of the hour. Sheldon Rankins tearing his Achilles tendon. We'll talk about how that might affect them against the Rams coming up this week. Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network is going to swing on by. We'll talk about the NFL's offensive revolution that has now reached the title games. A little LSU in here, too, because Devin White announces he'll go pro. Like, he's going to be a top 10 pick. I don't think there's any much doubt about that. He might even be a top five pick, depending on what happens at the combine. So Devin White leaving LSU, maybe their best linebacker ever. And that's saying a lot, obviously. We'll talk to Mike Scarborough about that. We'll get into the Saints-Rams matchup a little bit. It's kind of the elite versus middle America, white-collar, blue-collar kind of thing. It really is. This is the flash and glitz and glamour of L.A. and that really top-heavy, star-studded roster against this one down here in New Orleans. Also, the NFL officiating set for the title games. Interesting to note who's going to be calling this Rams-Saints game, Sports Libs and everything else. So welcome on into the show. And look, this is your show. I know we're all kind of this was kind of a hangover Monday in New Orleans. It was really interesting. No matter where I went across the city, everybody kind of had that dazed look in their eyes like, wow, I just had one hell of a night. And I'm back here at work, or I'm out on the town, but I need a little more time of recovery, and certainly I can understand why. So welcome on into the show. Glad you can listen to us. Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com tonight. I am curious to know who you think was most responsible for the Saints' comeback yesterday. Breeze, Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, or Sean Payton. Who was most responsible out of that quartet for the Saints' comeback? You can log on and cast your vote at WWL.com. Yesterday was just special. And I really mean that. You don't hear me say that about sporting events all the time. I'm not somebody who's just going to give you lip service just because it was a big football game, just because it's a big basketball game or whatever it is. I'm not just going to give you lip service yesterday. But in this industry, and the industry that we're in here, we sometimes lose a little perspective and we're numb to things that aren't really special. I mean, we go to dozens and dozens and hell, sometimes even hundreds of events every year. So the ones that are really special, they stand out. And I'll be somebody who remembers what happened yesterday and the atmosphere there for a very long time. You got to start off with the crowd. The crowd was just incredibly special. I've been here for a decade now, and the decibel meter never got higher in the decade I've been here anyways than it was yesterday. I personally saw it get up to 126.1 decibels, which is, by the way, within kind of striking distance of that record that Kansas City holds. I think it's 134, the record there. I did see some stories where the decibel meter may have hit 128 decibels. That's louder than a jet engine taking off. Loud. Peter King wrote about it this morning. NFL Network was talking about it this morning. Everybody nationally talking about just how loud this crowd was. I know there were many videos circulating, the vibrations up in the press box. And it was kind of the, you remember the Jurassic Park when the T-Rex starts walking and you see the cup of water rippling. That certainly happened. I was sitting next to Mike D'Antilier, Steve Court, and Bobby Aber up in the press box, and we felt it right below us. My favorite part from a crowd perspective, and it gave me goosebumps. It gave me goosebumps, which from when I've been covering a game, I can't remember the last time I got goosebumps covering a game. When Choppa Style started playing, and you saw Cam Jordan on the sidelines doing his dance, and the crowd was all in it. They were singing, they were dancing. Goosebumps. Incredible. How that song has become the anthem here, not only of the Saints season, but the city. By the way, new Choppa Style Saints verse, little Drew Brees verse out there. Choppa was at Drew Brees' surprise birthday party yesterday. Apparently, Brittany Brees surprised Drew after the game. Now, thank goodness they won. It certainly would have been a much more of a damper mood had the Saints lost that game. But Choppa was there, performed the song live, saw a lot of videos and pictures from that one, looked like it was special. Speaking of Brees, he was special. I mean, he just was. You're talking about in the playoffs when he, I believe he was 0-4 with one interception to start the game. And he finishes 28 of 38, 301 yards, two touchdowns, that one interception, and a plus 100 rating. Brees was special. Third and 16, third and 13, fourth and two from the goal line. This was vintage Brees continuing a season that might have been his best against a defense. Now, let's be honest here. This was a very good defense towards the latter part of the year. Fletcher Cox was banged up initially. He came back in. That is a fearsome front four. The linebackers were good, and the secondary even played better, although once Brees and company really got rolling, they kind of shredded that, especially over in the middle. But Drew was special. Michael Thomas was perhaps the most special of any player. 12 catches, 171 yards and a touchdown. He was simply unstoppable. Marshawn Lattimore special, the two interceptions. After he got burned early in that game, he simply locked down Alshon Jeffrey and everybody he was assigned to. How about Sean Payton? You want to talk about special? And I love my coaches with brash and bravado. I do. I love the Sean Paytons and the Mike Tomlins and the Pete Carrolls. If you can back up your bravado and talk, and we know Sean loves to talk, Marcus Peters certainly found that out this year. But if you can back it up, I love it. Sean Payton can talk all he wants because he was special yesterday. The fake punt call. I looked over to my right after the Saints had failed to convert that third down play when it was fourth and less than a yard, and I turned right to Mike and Steve and Bobby, and I said, they got to go for it here. So they got to go for it here. And all three of them said, no, you got to send out the punt unit. But then the punt unit did come out, and they ran a fake punt. Beautiful call, Taysom punt. You know, those are working. I don't think they've failed to convert a Taysom Hill fake punt call this year. I believe they're, are they 4 of 4? I believe that's the stat. Sean Payton, the 4th and 2 call from the goal line. Beautifully designed play using what Drew Brees classified Michael Thomas as the cheese, the bait there. Keep Kirkwood open on the left side. Also staying committed to running the football. This isn't the Sean Payton of 5-10 years ago when down 14-0, he would have abandoned the run. This team ran 31 times in this game. And remember, they didn't have a huge lead where they were just trying to ice it away. They ran 31 times. They threw it 38 times. 31 runs for 137 yards, 4.5 yards a carry. Sean Payton was special. Press Rowe was special. You had all the, you know, it always is this time of year. Just a little extra buzz. It was a zoo up there. It was an absolute zoo. You had all the guys and gals nationally that you're used to seeing and hearing and reading about. Most of them were there for that game, and they picked the right one to go to. Speaking of Peter King, that's what he said in his article. Picked the right one to go to. So he showed up there. Had a chance to say hi to him. The drive, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, but the drive. If there's the catch, this is probably the drive, not in the title game spot. But you're talking about an 18-play, 11.5-minute drive that was the longest in Saints postseason history. Incredible. Ended with that 4th and 2 call at the goal line. And I will say, the Eagles were pretty special too. They really were. In order for that day to be as special as it was, in that game, the way it played throughout to be that special, the opposition had to be special too. You're talking about a team that lost one of their three best offensive linemen, lost Fletcher Cox, the all-pro defensive tackle for a stretch in this game. Another defender. They were banged up, playing with a backup quarterback, a secondary who was grabbing a bunch of guys off the street this year. And you want to talk about a coaching staff that had them ready to play here? I know they lost, but I'm telling you, the Eagles were special too. And if you think that this team is going away the next few years here in the NFC, forget about it. That's going to be a team that challenges for conference championships for a very long time, probably as long as Doug Peterson, whoever's quarterback in that one, Foles or Wentz, as long as they're here. It's a little tip of the cap to the Eagles, but very special day yesterday. Hopefully we have at least two more of these to go here this season. Saints and Rams coming up in the NFC title game this Sunday. We'll open it up for your phone calls now, 504-260-1870, and your text can come on in at 870-870. When we come back, your calls, and also I got to get into this drive. One of the great drives in postseason history, and I certainly hope it's remembered that way because it was incredible from start to finish. I'm Seth Dunlap, Tim Zimmer, our producer behind the glass tonight. Thanks for joining us. It's the last lap here on WWL. And here's a text from Phantom Texter at 504. The only thing that I will say about Drew Brees, why he is the GOAT. The first pick, you could see his face did not bother him. Defense stood up, shut him down, held him to two touchdowns, and our offense woke up. I have spoken. Yes, you have. Text from the 985, Seth, the way they started, we thought it was going to be a long afternoon. Then they shook off the rust. As for Jeffrey, I think you mean there, he was awesome playing with broken ribs, hell of a game, hoot at and go Saints. It really was, and you're talking about a dropped pass. There's nothing egregious about that. Those happen all the time. In that spot, obviously, it's very critical in what happened there, but I don't think anybody in that Philadelphia locker room is going to say that one's on Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, they didn't score for the final 49 minutes of that game. That wasn't on Jeffrey. Just wasn't. Let's go to the phone lines here. West Bank Rick, welcome on into the show. What's going on?
Cha-ching.
Hey, what's up?
All right. Yeah, I will say the loudest I've heard the Saints was when we opened up the Superdome after Katrina and Gleason had that block putt.
Ah, yeah.
I think that's the loudest I ever heard. Because I can remember being close to the bathroom coming out of it, and you could the bathrooms and everything was shaking. And I was like, what is going on? And you could see the replay. And I'm sitting there saying, good God, this is loud.
It's incredible. Were you there yesterday by chance?
Yes. And then the other one had to have been the most emotional one because it was our going towards the Super Bowl was the Minnesota Vikings against Brett Favre, and they had to do the replay about the catch.
Oh, yeah.
If it was a forward pass or whatever. And when they found out that, you know, that they didn't get the call that they wanted, the building exploded. We was going to the championship, and you just saw people crying and hugging each other, saying finally, and wishing my parents was here. And we also gave shout out to Buddy D and all them old heads from back in the day and stuff like that. And I thought that was just awesome. But, man, that dome was loud. But like I say, they can be louder because they had a few that, you know, that wasn't screaming or doing as much because I maybe guess it 10 years back then, you wasn't
sure,
having a lot
sure,
of people
yep,
on the phone.
Yep.
And then,
yep, Rick. We got other callers to get to. I get you here. Well, I will say this as far as next week, if it'll be louder, it might because the Los Angeles Rams don't have a fan base. Let's just call it like it is. There are some L.A. Rams fans who might have remembered the previous iteration of that franchise, but you may see, and I really mean this, you may see 100 Rams fans total in the Superdome this week. I mean, that's what I'm expecting. There were very few green shirts for the Eagles. I don't think there's going to be many more Rams fans. I think there's going to be quite a bit less. So there is an opportunity here to be louder. Let's go to James in Mandeville. James, what's going on?
Hey, I want to give props to Dennis Allen, making the adjustments after that second score.
I mean, he pushed all the the DBs up into press coverage. He started mixing up more pressure, not giving Foles any easy passing lanes. You know, took the quick passes away. And I tell you, I think rattling him was and not giving him time to look was the key.
Yeah, I saw him go to a little more cover too. I haven't watched the film, full disclosure, so this is just a time. And then I did watch the DVR of the game at home. So, but I didn't get the film look at this, but the eye test for me was he was playing a little more cover two that I saw, a little more zone coverage. Remember, we talked about that last week. Nick Foles just worse against, much worse against zone coverage than he is against man coverage. The initial pass, pass touchdown where PJ Williams, and I guess we'll get to this a little bit later in the show, when he just gave up on the play, that was man coverage, got beat there. Saints got beat a few times in man, but when you have those corners that are just better at playing man, sometimes you don't go away from what you do best. Let's go to Pierre and Gentile. Pierre, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Seth?
I'm great.
I want to give a big hoot out to my Saints. And I wanted to say we're the only team that had to come back from a 14-point deficit in this year's playoffs.
Well, sure. I don't think that's – you want to make your living that way, though, Pierre. I don't know if that's something I want to hang my hat on if I'm in that locker room. I don't want any more of that.
You're right, but I just wanted to, you know, like bring that up that, you know, we had the biggest deficit and we overcame that. You know, the only team to overcome a 14-point deficit this year.
Well, we're the only team to overcome a deficit in this round, period. I mean, they were just blowouts the other game. Even that 8-point Rams win, that wasn't nearly as close as that. That was a 2-score game throughout. 2-touchdown game basically throughout. And here come the Rams in the Superdome. So this drive yesterday that everybody's talking about today, and they should, in my view, they should be talking about it more. It was one of the great drives in NFL history. The drive that started at the Saints' 8-yard line, that was after the first Lattimore interception. And you're thinking, and it was 14-0 at that time. And you're thinking, okay, they've got to score on this drive. And there were multiple times in that drive when the Saints, well, they should have been off the field. The fourth down play, he had multiple, a 3rd-and-16, a 3rd-and-13 play, both completions by Breeze on that drive. And it wasn't just an 18-play drive. It was really a 23-play drive because all the penalties there. I understand Andre Pete's playing with a broken hand. It's fine. But I'm just calling it like you got to call it here. He played objectively bad football for the most part there. You're going to have his ex-players, some of them who work on this station, that are going to defend him and have defended him, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, he played a terrible football game. 4 penalties. He got bowled over multiple times by the Eagles' pass rushers. But that drive specifically, just so you understand how historically impressive this was, that was the 5th longest drive in postseason history, if you count the 18 plays. If you count the penalties in that, that becomes the longest drive in NFL history and the 2nd longest by time of possession. 11:29, the time of possession on that drive. Only the Giants' 12-minute-and-53-second drive against the Vikings a few years ago in 2014 tops that. It's a drive that I think we'll be talking about for a very long time. Doug Mouton coming up. Here's a text from the 318, seen a little bit of this and heard a little bit on the station today. Seth, Miss Gale has got to lead the Hoodat chant this Sunday in honor of Tom. We should start a petition or something. Love your show, Hoodat. I don't think, knowing a little bit of Miss Gale, I don't think she'll do that. It doesn't seem in her character, but that would be kind of special if she did, wouldn't it? Waiting on Doug Mouton to join us here. Just to expand further on Andres Pete, and I will have this debate in a very lengthy one with anybody, and I understand there are people that the instant gut reaction is to defend your guys and defend the guys in that locker room and maybe guys you played with. But Andres Pete, not only was he bad yesterday, if you look at the tape and the entirety of this season, it really hasn't been great. It's been average at best. If you go to the Pro Football Focus ranking, he grades out as a below average offensive guard. In fact, he rates as the 79th best offensive guard in football this year, a rating of 40 out of 100 there. Yesterday, the 4 penalties multiple times when he just got abused by Fletcher Cox and Graham in that defensive line. Now, in his defense yesterday, you have to point out that his hand's in a cast, broken hand, gotten playing through that. But if your hand's in a cast, and you're going to be that much of a liability, then you got to just have an objective realization here, perhaps, as a Saints offensive unit, and maybe Sean Payton, that is Jermond Bushrod better in there right now? Is Will Clapp the better option? We're trying to stay positive here, and I will, and the win's all that matters here. And the cohesiveness of the offensive line, if you talk to guys who've played the position before, they'll tell you that is critical. So maybe that outweighs any problems that he might have, against the best player on the planet, I think, right now, at any position in the NFL, and Aaron Donald. But I just have some nightmarish visions of Aaron Donald, and to a lesser extent, Ndamukong Suh, who just hasn't been the same player this year, abusing Andres Pete like Fletcher Cox did yesterday. I'll tell you this, if you have four penalties and you allow multiple sacks here to that unit, Saints aren't going to win that game, not against a unit that's more talented and better than the Eagles. So a little bit of, not pessimism, but I guess realistically, just objectivity about what happened yesterday. Again, the Saints win, so that all gets overlooked. But if the Saints had lost that game, one of the first areas you're going to look at is the offensive line play. And not that it was all on Andres Pete. Max Unger, he'll tell you that wasn't his best game. He had a penalty. He got beat multiple times. The interior of that Saints line just wasn't the same unit. Text from the 504, if you look closely, Fletcher Cox is a beast. Don't you trust Payton? Fletcher Cox is a beast, number one. No doubt about that. Do I trust Sean Payton? Yeah, absolutely. I trust Sean Payton more than I trust myself to make that judgment. But Sean Payton's not on this radio show. I'm on the radio show. Speaking of defensive linemen for the Saints, got to mention this. Sheldon Rankins, it was confirmed that he has a torn Achilles tendon, and he will be out, obviously, the rest of the playoffs. It's about a six-month timetable, so he should be, and I say should, you never know, but he should be back in time for training camp this next year as he heads towards a new contract. This will be year four coming up for Sheldon Rankins. Career-high 8 sacks this year. He's been great. You would have loved to have him against the Los Angeles Rams, obviously, in your biggest game of the year so far. I mean, that doesn't even need to be said. But I will say that if you're talking about Stallworth and Davison on the inside, they are comparable run stoppers to Sheldon Rankins. Where he sets himself way apart from those guys is his pass rush skills. Now, what did the Rams do last week to the Dallas Cowboys? 273 yards on the ground. Now, the Rams getting a little bit lippy today about that Cowboys game, saying that they knew what the Cowboys were running on the defensive front when they were stunting about 90% of the time. Getting a little talky, saying we knew what was coming. They did a bad job of designing it, and we just ran all over them. Well, they did, so that's probably all true. Sometimes you just got to shut up, though. I think this Rams team has a big problem in not shutting up when they should shut up. Marcus Peters today, their star cornerback, former Pro Bowler, he got into a little tiff earlier this season with Sean Payton. Sean Payton saying something to him on the field, and then in the postgame locker room after the Rams loss here, saying, paraphrasing here, that he was going to come back and can't wait for the next game against Sean Payton so he can shut that bleep up. Well, Marcus Peters today tweeting something out, later deleted, that it's gumbo time. He's coming to eat the Saints here and eat everybody in New Orleans. I don't mind talk if you can back it up. I like mouthy cornerbacks at times if you back it up. Marcus Peters, I don't think, has backed it up this year. In fact, this entire Rams defense, and this is what I told you last offseason, and maybe this is the litmus test. We'll find out if this comes true on Sunday. But this was a lot of star power, a lot of hype, a lot of formerly great players and really big names, and not a lot of depth on this defense. And they have not been good. And you're not going to convince me that, well, they're much better with Tlaib back. No, they haven't been. Been better. They haven't been much better. This was the 19th ranked defense in the NFL this season. They have a very good pass rush. They have the best defensive player in football. But this defense can be exploited. I thought this would be the Rams' issue this offseason when this team was constructed. We'll see if it is here. See what the Saints do. We'll take a break. Doug Mouton coming back, and your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text lines open 870-870. Seth and Chin hanging out. It's the last lap on WWL. Text from the 985, Ram Gumbo will be good. Just going to have to cook it down some, Seth. Ah, yes. Back at you, Marcus Peters. Welcome back to the show. Seth Dunlap, Tim Zimmer here, recapping and remembering what happened yesterday. Just a really special day in the Superdome, and everybody who was there, the crowd, just sensational. It's kind of the talk of the country was that crowd. 128, apparently, on the decibel meter. I saw 126. People saying 128. Yeah, that's approaching an all-time record right up there with Kansas City and Seattle. Let's bring on in Doug Mouton, his promise to talk about what happened yesterday and remember it with him. Doug Mouton, WWL TV sports director at DMouton WWL. And yeah, Doug, you've been a part of these moments here for a very long time in this city. How would you rate and rank that one up there yesterday?
Yeah, look, I called one of my friends today who's been a longtime season ticket holder. And look, I started buying my own Saints season tickets in 1981. I was in high school, but I had a job where a Saints season ticket was $100 for the year in the Terrace. It was $10 a ticket, 10 games. It was $100 for the year. I paid for my own season tickets for a long time through high school, through college, and then anyway, my dad was an original season ticket holder. I've been in that dome literally hundreds of times for Saints games and other events. And I called him today and I said, tell me if I'm wrong. I genuinely, honestly think that was the loudest I have ever experienced in the Superdome. And he agreed with me, but I think he had knocked back a few, so I'm not sure he's 100% reliable. But the other thing, I have never felt, and I saw somebody had on social media put their water rattling. Like, you could feel the Terrace, because where the press box is now 46 rows up in the Terrace, you could feel it swaying. Like, the ground wasn't completely still. You experience that at Texas A&M. That's sort of their thing. They get a chant going, and the top of the stadium sways a little bit. I felt that in the Superdome yesterday. It was noticeable, and I have never felt that in the Superdome before. You said 30 seconds before introducing me that it was a special day. It was an unbelievably special day in the Superdome, even for a team that's had as much success in the last 12 years. It was an unbelievably special day in the Superdome.
Yeah, look, and I was just honest with everybody here in our audience earlier in the show and saying that, look, when you cover dozens, sometimes even 100-plus of sporting events a year, sometimes you get numb. And so the special ones really stand out. And I don't get goosebumps at sporting events anymore. When Choppa Style came on in the third quarter, I think it was, or maybe it was the early fourth, and Cam Jordan's dancing on the sideline and the crowd is just going absolutely bananas, Doug. I got a little goosebumps. I mean, a lot of goosebumps.
Yeah,
here.
Look, I agree on all those points. Yeah, look, we cover a lot of games, and I got into this business so that I could get paid to go to ball games. It's a, you know, it's a good way to make a living. And I've seen a bunch, and this one was rare. I mean, it really is. I don't know how else to say it. This one was rare and special. And I'm going to remember this one for a long time. And I can't say that about every game I've covered. I can't say that about every playoff game I've covered even. But this one was really special. And just the way it played out. You fall way behind, and then the way the defense came back and dominated. So the crowd, you know, if the Saints go up early, then the crowd, oh, yeah, we expected this, the Saints can almost take their own crowd out of the game. Sometimes I remember the Detroit playoff game a few years ago when the Saints were, you know, just put a stomp into them right off the bat and then it's over. This was one where, look, they got knocked back a little bit, and it is the defending Super Bowl champs that when the Saints started playing well, that place caught fire. Like I said, like I'm not sure I've ever seen the Superdome quite like that.
It's Doug Mouton of WWL TV, and Drew was special. I guess that's the word of the day, special. You know, Michael Thomas was great. So was Marshawn. But I thought Sean Payton might have been as good in that game as he ever was. The fake punt call, the 4th-and-2 play design and call, but also here, new Sean Payton, Doug, staying committed to the run even when you're down 2 scores early. 5 years ago, we would have seen Sean Payton throw it 60 times in this game. Instead, he stays committed to Ingram and Alvin Kamara. They run 31 times and really run it down Philadelphia's throat, and that's one of the reasons why they got back into the game.
Yeah, and well, look, from an offensive standpoint, and I agree with you about the run game, but I also think part of it is, look, Sean Payton knows his personnel. He's got two elite weapons in Thomas and Kamara, and then Ingram's a half a step behind him. I mean, he's a really good weapon. And those are clearly your three best weapons. So running the ball is also a product of just, you know, Payton's a smart offensive coach. You're going to try to get the ball into your hands of your best offensive players. And those are your elite options. So getting the ball, I mean, if you don't get Kamara double-digit touches, and look, it said something about Payton on the opening kickoff. It wasn't Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's done a nice job on opening kickoffs, but Kamara is the real weapon. Kamara's back there, and I would expect to see that for the playoffs. You're going to put, you're going to try to limit him during the regular season because you're trying to keep the wear and tear off of him, but this is the playoffs now, so expect Alvin Kamara. You're not worrying so much about his touches at this point. But yeah, look, the fourth down plays, what they force the Saints to do is not get complacent, not play to lose, not sit back on their heels. His commitment to his own aggressiveness was brilliant on that drive. The fake punt is what they needed. In fact, it was funny talking to Taysom Hill about it afterwards. You know, he said at the line of scrimmage, he's got a check to get out of it. You know, they've called the fake, but if he calls them to get out of it, they can get out of it and punt if they look at a defense. And, well, Philadelphia's defense was a sit back and wait for the fake defense.
Right.
They weren't rushing. They were look. Now he said they weren't quite set, so they were able to get a quick snap and sort of catch him off guard a little bit. But they were in a defense that's conducive to that. The one thing I asked him, I said, look, I know you said you can check out of it, but is there really any look on earth that you are not gonna run that play once they call it? And he said, well, you know, I will err on the aggressive side, but I would check out of it. I don't think there's anything that could have possibly happened that would have given that Taysom Hill would have checked out of it, because he's an aggressive player with an aggressive coach. He runs hard. It was well blocked. That play was huge. And then, yeah, you get to the goal line and you need another fourth down. And there was no doubt. You know, to me, the one tell on the fake punt, if Philadelphia would have really been paying attention, on a fourth and one at their own 30, actually, when they got there, the first thing I said was, you go for it here, and you think Sean Payton is at least thinking I'm going for it, but immediately when the third down play is over, his offense runs off, and that just seemed wrong that he didn't even have to think about. Well, the thing was, he had called a fake, so he really was sort of going for it, but he immediately ran his offense off, which just seemed un-Payton-like to,
yes,
not at least,
yes,
think about going for it. So Philadelphia had been watching. It's like, whoa, they're awful anxious to get the punt team off.
It's so true.
Like, that should have been a tell, because it struck me as so strange right at that moment. And then two different people in the press box, and the press box was packed, two different people behind me long before they snapped it. I'm talking about when the punt team is running on. Is this a fake? Like, it was, if you know Sean Payton, it's the most obvious time and situation for him to run a fake. Like, how they were able to be so successful with it is interesting, because Philadelphia should have known it was coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, they might have. It just didn't matter, I guess, when you got Taysom back there.
It didn't matter. No, right. At that point, it's football. If you block well enough, yeah, you know that.
It's so interesting you mentioned all that, Doug, because I was sitting next to Mike Stillier and Bobby and Steve Court, and all of us said the same thing. We're going, they got to go for it here. At least I was saying that, and they go,
yeah,
no, here
no,
comes
right.
the punt
team. And I couldn't believe, like, with zero hesitation, like, Drew Brees and the offense is running off. I'm like, wow, you're down 14. You need 1 yard. This is Sean Payton. He goes for everything. Wow, and you're, like, not even going to think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Like little moments. When you watch a team as much as we do and you've seen a coach for more than a decade, like, you really do understand the psyche better than maybe the opposing coach who's been studying all week.
Yep, agreed. I have to ask you about the Rams here. And you know, it's interesting, and I really mean this. I'm not just saying this just to pander to the audience that's listening here and the Saints fans, but I like this matchup against the Rams. The Saints have a much better defense by all the metrics than even a rush defense than Dallas had. I don't think they're going to tip their hand like apparently Dallas did last week. And Jared Goff away from home is just a flat out bad quarterback, Doug. He's just a bad quarterback when he gets in the noise and Sean McVay can't feed him the play call and the reads in his headset down to 15 seconds. I like this matchup, but what say you?
Yeah, you know what? Here's the first thing. You're trying to go to a Super Bowl. So I love the matchup because I think the Rams are the second-best team in football. And I love the idea of it's a heavyweight fight to get – I mean, they will earn it at the highest level. 2-13-win teams in the NFL this year, the Saints and the Rams. The first game they played, 8 minutes to go in the game, is 35-35. So this was not a game the Saints won by any kind of a blowout. And what the Saints were able to do, obviously, is get Mike Thomas loose. The Rams couldn't do anything with him. The Rams did not have Aqib Talib. They will have him this week. Obviously, the Saints didn't have Ted Ginn, and that'll help on their end. But the Rams' defense will be better. In theory, they will have more of an answer for Mike Thomas than they did in the first matchup. I certainly like the Saints' chances. I think they're the best team in the NFL. But I think the Rams are legit. I think they're legit in every way. I think they run the ball extremely well. Todd Gurley looked great this week. It's a 1-2 punch. They're going to run it right at the Saints. I literally can't wait to see it. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know if I would ever call Jared Goff bad. I think he's a good quarterback who's going to be really good. But of the two quarterbacks, I think the Saints – obviously, the Saints will have an advantage at quarterback no matter who they play. I think they have an advantage at quarterback if they played New England in the Super Bowl. I certainly like the Saints' chances, but I think this game is going to be a game in the fourth quarter. I thought they'd beat the Eagles bigger than they did. Now, you throw the first quarter out, and the Saints really did beat them by a couple of touchdowns. I thought overall the Saints were a couple of touchdowns better than the Eagles. I don't think they're a couple of touchdowns better than the Rams, and I'm really curious. Yeah, the two things – how the Rams are able to play Mike Thomas, because they could not play him in the first game. Can Aqib Talib really make that difference? And then two, can the Saints stop that running game? I agree with you. I think they're a little better than Dallas at it, but Dallas got slaughtered. Is a little bit better good enough to not give up a bunch of yards? I don't know. I can't wait. I think it's a heavyweight fight. I think it's the two best teams in football. You got to earn your way to the Super Bowl. I love everything about the game.
Stuff. Well, I will leave you with the stat that you can put in your pipe and smoke it all week long. The home teams haven't lost a conference championship game in the last 5 years. So maybe, Doug, that bodes pretty well here for
the Orleans. That's not a bad thing. Although I have looked back over the last – I did like the last 20 years – just to see how many times it was 1-2-1-2. It's actually like the fourth time, which is neither, wasn't statistically interesting that it wasn't a lot or like too many or too few. It's about what you thought.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's been a lot of years when it's 1-1. When the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009, it was 1-1. There's a lot of years when it's not. So, and what happened over the last 5 years won't affect this one. But I will say this, Philadelphia had two motion penalties that were 100% generated by crowd noise and had nothing to do with anything else. And if the Superdome's like that, this game might be close enough where a couple of those will make an enormous difference.
Doug, appreciate the chat, man. Enjoy the heck out of this week, and we'll see you there at the Dome again on Sunday.
We will see you Sunday. All right, Seth, anytime.
All right, Doug Mouton, WWL TV sports director at DMouton WWL, and you can see him every night there, most every night, at WWL TV. Okay, we're up against the clock. We've also got a news break, but get your phone calls lined up here, 504-260-1870. A couple of open lines, 504-260-1870. That is the phone number. You can text us at 870-870. Here's a quick text from the 504. Hey, Seth, when we win the Super Bowl, will Dennis Allen get head coaching offers? Not this year. I think he will in the future. Not this year, though. Those jobs are all either filled or reportedly filled. All eight of them that came open this year. Seth Dunlap, Tim Zimmer. This is the last lap on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.